You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast. The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, K-State Nation? Another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly is on the air, coming to you from Manhattan, Kansas. The Purple Project Podcast, all about the latest and what's going on here in Manhattan about Kansas State athletics, or lack thereof, K-State athletics here in Manhattan, Kansas. Eddie Greer, welcome on board. If you're new to Triple P, we're all about what's going on in the world of Wildcat athletics here in Purple Nation. Again, if you're new to the show, welcome on board. You've been listening to this podcast for a while, or a few months or a year. We thank you for your support as we continue to approach big triple digits here on the weekly edition of the Purple Project Podcast. Before I bring on my co-host, usual on the weekly edition of the podcast, of course, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you get your podcast. We are on Apple, Spotify, Audio Boom, Amazon, Odyssey, and a couple more of your podcasting platforms out there. Make sure you are spreading the word about Triple P here, whether you're living here in the state of Kansas or outside the state of Kansas. Make sure you are subscribed, hit that subscribe button, and tell a fellow K-State fan about this podcast we're recording on this Thursday. And I cannot believe it's Thursday already, April 14th, 2022. We're approaching the weekend, folks, and now it's time to bring on the co-host, or I should say my co-host, usually here on the Purple Project Podcast, none other than Alex Aiden. This is episode 96. Alex, who lives out in San Diego, California. Alex, what's happening?
Not too much, Eddie. Not too much. All is good out here in America's finest city, San Diego, California. 4 episodes from 100. That is crazy. It is creeping up on us quickly. But all is good. I'm just watching the Royals lose a little bit in the corner of my eye while we record the podcast against the Detroit Tigers. They got 4-2, and then I think you've already bailed on your Braves. Looking at them tonight, they're down 9-0 here in San Diego, about 15 minutes from me, against the Padres down there at Petco Park downtown. So not a great night as of right now for either one of our baseball teams. Also, has not been a great time recently for the K-State baseball team, but they did get a big win over a top 10 team. And so we'll have that to talk about, which is good. But you mentioned it, not a lot of winning going on with K-State lately. The only winning that was going on aside from the K-State baseball team, who got that big win over Texas tonight, who's ranked 7th in the country. Was really been the football team on the recruiting trail, winning a couple recruiting battles. That's kind of been where the winning's been. Mm-hmm. We'll obviously get into that a little bit too. But even on the basketball front, Eddie, you're losing. We haven't really gotten any big transfers yet. Haven't got any big recruits yet or anything like that. We're kind of waiting there. Baseball team's been losing. I think the tennis team's been losing. Maybe it's tennis. Right? Wrong? Right? Am I right?
Yep, tennis has been losing.
It has not been, and then spring ball is wrapped up. I believe they're wrapping up spring ball now. So that's done and over with. And so football's kind of, now it's a waiting game. It's a waiting game to see. I think the next phase for the football team, Eddie, is I mentioned this to you before spring camp, but I think a couple other transfers shake free that the Cats ended up going again. I do. They lost Brandon Jennings, the linebacker that you and I have been gushing about ever since they got him a couple months ago from Maryland. Don't know what the impacts of that are going to be. I don't know if they're going to go out and try to go get another linebacker in the portal. It's been an interesting time in K-State athletics, and we've got some interesting topics to talk about and to dive into.
Yep, that's right, yeah. Yeah, I saw that Brandon Jennings tweet yesterday after work, and I feared the worst. I feared the worst for that, and that kind of confirmed my suspicion on that. That's a huge loss for K-State defense. Yeah, we raved about him. Everybody pretty much raved about him, how he can complement Daniel Green. That's going to be a question mark going in. And also, they cut off spring football early because of the injuries as well. Is that a big concern? Obviously, we still have a couple months until fall arrives here in Manhattan, Kansas for football season, obviously. But is that a concern? Obviously, Malik Knowles has had his injuries in the past. Now, I haven't been keeping up with all the injuries, who's been injured or whatnot. I've been reading this and there, here and there, but that's kind of I have a slight concern about that, but not a huge alarming concern whatsoever. You have time to, I think that was a smart move on Coach Kleiman's part there, to give his guys the rest that they need, hopefully to come back 100% for summer practice and then eventually get themselves ready to go for the 2022 football campaign, which is a big one for Coach Kleiman. We've already nailed it down. I'm pretty sure that's not the last time we'll be saying that. So we all know what's at stake, obviously. I mean, critical, that's too big a word, but huge year for Chris Kleiman going into this year after coming off of another good season, another 8-5 year. But the positive side of all of that, Adrian Martinez, we talked about it slightly before I hit the record button. He's begun throwing already, which is a very good sign for the K-State offense.
That is a good sign. You know, I mean, that obviously, and we've talked about this many times, Eddie, but that quarterback position, I mean, this team's going to live or die by that quarterback I don't think there's much denying that. I don't think you need to look much further than what they did with Skylar Thompson in comparison to Will Howard the last couple of years. I understand that there is some K-State fans that really are going to die on the hill of, like, Will Howard is this beast, he's this stud, like, he's the dude. But I'm sorry, Eddie, I've never bought the hype. And I still don't buy the hype. And so I don't want to go into the season with Will Howard as starting quarterback. With no offense to Will Howard, but we've seen it for 2 years, and it hasn't gotten better. And it doesn't mean it can't get better, but it hasn't. And so I don't understand, the K-State fans that are kind of get behind that train, kind of get behind that Will Howard train. But granted, I think it's a minority. But point being, you want Adrian Martinez healthy, I think, because you mentioned it. Big year for the Cats, and they've got a good team. I mean, they've got a good team that I have seen some people predict as many as 9-10 wins for them if things break right for them this year. How do I think that they'll perform? I think the jury's still out, to be 100% honest, but I think that their ceiling is there. I think that there's opportunities there, and I think that Chris Kleiman knows that. So that's part of why you go out and get Adrian Martinez, because you got a team that's not ready at the quarterback position, and you've got a surrounding cast that's ready to win, right now. And so, you go get a guy like Adrian Martinez and put him in there. So you want him healthy. And so the fact that he's throwing, he seems to be on a schedule. He's throwing like 50 yards right now, I believe. And then they're hoping that he can throw to teammates in May, so next month. And if he can be throwing teammates in May, then that should put him on track to be able to practice once actual practice begins there in the late summer. And they're getting ready to go to start their season. I can't remember who their first game is off the top of my head, but before they begin that preparations for the season and their first game of the year. So it's important. It's important, and that's a big deal. It's a big deal that he's ahead of schedule, especially a quarterback that's as we've talked about before in the podcast, that he came in injured. There were some question marks about his injury history and his current injury and what was going to happen here. So the fact that he's ahead of schedule, I think, is a good thing, really good thing for the Cats. And just to kind of touch on the other things that you brought up there in spring ball with the injuries, it's like you don't want to worry about things in the spring. That's like, mm-hmm. That's not the time to worry, but it is a little worrisome to see like 30 players are hurt and you've got to cancel spring ball early because you can't field a scrimmage. That doesn't make me feel good. Am I panicking? No. Am I feeling good reading that? No. I'm not feeling good about it either. They made the right call, Eddie. They made the right call by canceling it early. I agree with you there. But I am mildly concerned about that just because that's a lot of players you mentioned to be down and they've got time to recover, but I don't know who all's injured. I don't know the severity of all the injuries, and that's kind of a scary thing. And I am sure that there are people out there that know more than I do about that, but I just don't. And so, look, this isn't like the NFL, where you're going to get an injury report every week. You got the injury, got the designations, and got like all that. Like we're not privy to all that information, right? So, especially this time in spring ball, no. I mean, of course you don't know that. So, that just is mildly scary. In regards to the Brandon Jennings thing, I had heard, Eddie, that it wasn't like that he wasn't, he might have been underperforming. We talked about last week that he was kind of dinged up, that he'd been fighting some injuries, mm-hmm. some nicks, I guess you could say, and that he hadn't been able to be able to build a ton. But I've been hearing that he may not be getting a lot of playing time. So I don't know what was going on. Maybe that was why he transferred out. I'm not sure. It sure seems like it just wasn't a good fit. It just wasn't gonna work. Clearly, I don't think K-State was getting what they thought they were going to get. And then maybe he didn't think he was getting what he thought he was going to get. But I'll tell you what, what's alarming to me the most is that, and this isn't for K-State, this is honestly more for Jennings. You transfer after, your freshman year or your first year, and then you go to a program, and then in the middle of the offseason, you transfer again. So, like, you're going into your second year, and you're going to a third program. And you're, like, a four-star recruit. That is wild, and I think that gets kind of back at the heart of the transfer portal. And, hey, the transfer portal can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing in a lot of scenarios. Because it's really easy. It's easy for players to get out of situations and just quit, and the going gets tough. Things are getting tough. I'm throwing myself in the transfer portal. I know it's kind of a touchy subject, but we see it happen again and again. And I'm not saying that that's the situation with Jennings, but, if indeed it was just like, I may not be getting a lot of playing time. Oh, I've just been nicked up practice, and I'm just not happy with that. I'll just go throw myself in the portal. That's not, in my opinion, the way that the portal should be used. I think that's detrimental to the player. I think that ends up hurting the player down the road, not more than the team. So disappointed to hear that news about him. Casey's got a hole at linebacker now. I'm curious if they're going to go out and try to find someone to fill it, or if they're just going to look in house and see if they can kind of piece something together there. They don't have a ton of depth, Eddie, at that linebacker at that second level. So I think it would be beneficial to see if there's someone that they may be able to get. But at the same time, you want to get somebody who fits your culture and fits mm-hmm. your team. And I will say that about what happened here with Jennings. We saw in the COVID season what happens when you get some players that some transfers in your team on your roster that they don't fit. They don't fit your culture. They don't fit what you do. It can create kind of a toxic environment. In case they clearly had a little bit of that in 2020 during that COVID season. And we saw it happen. It was not a good season. So, if it was going to be a player that, Jennings just wasn't going to fit, And it wasn't going to be good for the locker room. It wasn't going to be good for anyone. It's better that he leaves spring ball before you start a season and it starts impacting what is happening in your season. So if you want to look at a silver lining, I do think that's a silver lining. That is definitely something. So better now than him transferring in the middle of the year, you know, because something happens then. And you know, maybe it's because the locker room is divided halfway through the year and they're not sitting where we expected them to be as well. That would not be a good scenario. So, you know, it's a silver lining. But still a blow, man. Still a blow. You bring in a guy like that, and you're thinking, oh, man, he's going to be real good at the second level. You pair him with Daniel Green, give you some depth at the linebacking group. Now you've got some depth kind of at all three levels, potentially. And so that hurts. And I'll say, I've said this, Eddie. I've said this all offseason, and I still think that they're going to bring someone in for the secondary. I don't know who, I don't know where, but I just think that they're going to bring someone in, whether it's a safety, corner, some sort of defensive back. So that's something to keep an eye on out now. But yeah, with the football team, Adrian Martinez, you want him to continue to get healthier. You want the rest of the 30 players to continue to get healthier. And then you really kind of pivot and you look and see how you can kind of build this roster out. Especially if you have injuries, Eddie, you need some more bodies. That's another reason to go get a couple guys if you've got the scholarships available. And then you get ready. You just get ready to kind of rev up for going back to practice in the late summer when it's time to play ball. Because you mentioned it, and I mentioned it, and we'll mention it again and again and again. This is a big season. Mm-hmm. This is a big season. This is a season that is going to really, in my mind, really kind of set the precedent for this football program under Chris Klieman. You know, if they come out there and have a really good year, I really think that could really get this football program off and running. Mm-hmm. With Klieman after 3 years that have kind of been a little bit of everything. If he comes out and has a mediocre year or a bad year, I think it could have the complete opposite effect and put him in the hot seat and potentially be facing a situation like we did with the basketball program this year. Big season. It's a big season. You got a lot of talent. I think there's a lot of expectations. Not expectations to go out and win the Big 12, but expectations to do better than you did last year, do better than, you know, win at least 8 games. And, you know, that's what he's facing. That's what Coach Klieman's facing this year. So, and we talked about this as well, Eddie. That football program needs some juice. It just feels like it's been lacking a little bit of juice the last couple of years that it hasn't had, that it had when you and I were there. So they got to find a way to bring that back. And the best way to do that is to win. And I think Chris Klieman, once again, I think he knows that, especially now that you've got a basketball coach that it seems like everybody is really pumped about. So the last thing you want is that football program falls stagnant. So big year, Coach Klieman. He wants to make the right moves on the recruiting trail, spring ball, over the summer. And to round it all back to your initial question, Eddie, it all starts and ends with Adrian Martinez. Because this I believe, will probably go as Adrian Martinez goes. If he can manage the football game and he can play well with Deuce in the backfield, he'll probably have a good year. If he is erratic, Adrian Martinez, it would be an erratic season for K-State. So we shall see.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yep, everybody's telling me about, well, some people have come to me and asked the question, well, are we going to be good without Skylar Thompson? That's the big thing, because Chris Klieman came here 3 years ago when Skylar was still the quarterback here at K-State, so we're gonna find that out here. Obviously, Adrian Martinez, obviously with a healthy Adrian Martinez, will solve that problem. I know he's got 1 year left of eligibility. He coming here from Nebraska, and we know if Adrian Martinez has his head on straight and doesn't turn the football over, we know what he can do. Definitely at the quarterback position, really can take the pressure off of Deuce Vaughn. I'm sure you're pretty sure we'll have more on this talk in the upcoming months leading up to the season. But definitely a healthy Adrian Martinez will definitely go a long ways to possibly courting a 9-10 season for K-State. But if things like this happen, like injuries and stuff like that happens, then the lack of depth concerns me still for this K-State team. Despite, obviously, you know, the positive, obviously, this week so far is getting winning the recruiting battle. We'll get in touch on that later on in the podcast. But other than that, the depth still is a concern. On both, well, offense is sort of stacked except for the running back position still that I know of. And then on defense, obviously, linebacker takes a huge hit. Obviously, defensive line has been banged up. There's a lot of depth there, a lot of talent there, as we talked about on the podcast, but there are injuries there right now. Secondary has gained a person from the transfer portal in Sean Robinson. They're trying to possibly get one or two more as well, so that's a little concerning. But obviously, we don't want to hit a panic button just yet. It's mid-April, folks. We still got time, and definitely the encouraging sign and most important part of any football team, whether it's NFL or quarterback or not quarterback, college football or high school football, whatever, is the quarterback position. And Adrian Martinez is definitely obviously the Will Howard thing. Yeah, we know about the last 2 years. Now he's built, he's gotten bigger, stronger, moving a little quicker, but yet we still see the same mistakes from him, especially last year after we bought in with the hype, and then goes out there and just plays not to expectations. So
we'll have to look. Football, man. Yeah. Look, no offense to what I did not see much progression in his passing game, and until I see that. The one thing I noticed last year that he improved, Eddie, was his, I thought his spiral looked a lot better. I thought he kind of had some of those, those duck balls his freshman year. They're kind of flailing up in the air. They didn't have a really tight didn't have a very tight spiral. Some of those throws his freshman year, I thought he had a better looking spiral in his passes last year. And I thought he was a little more accurate, too, throwing some tighter windows at times. But all in all, K-State couldn't move the football with him at quarterback. And he couldn't throw the ball around the yard. Now, we'll say this as preface too. I think we all know the guy that was calling the plays was not putting Will Howard in the best position to succeed. And I will give him the benefit of the doubt. And I have to tell you, these players cannot rave enough about Colin Klein,
yep.
And what he is going to do for this offense. And they keep talking about this spread offense and all these new concepts. And, I mean, they're gushing about him ways they never gush about Courtney Messingham, with all due respect.
No.
You remember when Keith Valentine was on the podcast? He was talking about when he was at practice, said he could see the player, and he's like, oh, he's going to transfer later in the year, just because they could tell, like, they're not buying into Courtney Messingham's system. Like, they didn't buy into it, man. And so they clearly are buying into this the Colin Klein system. So I think that's a wild card. And maybe we do see Will Howard take that step. I'm not saying he can't take that step. I'm just saying he needs to show it to me before I believe it. I'm not to say, I think Will Howard's going to make this step. I've said that twice, and he's proved me wrong in the wrong way twice. You know, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you, or whatever the saying is. Maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. Point being, he needs to show it to me, Eddie, and then I'll believe it. But I will say this as well, and you mentioned, we'll talk about the recruiting a little bit later than the 23 class, but I do think this is the best roster that Coach Clement's had at K-State. Yeah. I think this is the most talent that he has had at K-State. I do think that it's probably going to end up being the most depth that he's had at K-State as well. Still not as much depth as I would like. I think K-State needs to continue to build depth within the program. But I do think it is probably more depth than they've had the last couple years. And that's not saying a lot, because K-State didn't have a lot of depth at all the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But
but
point being, I do think this will be his best team. And I think, once again, I think that's part of the reason why the pressure – why there's a little bit of pressure. Look, you've got the best running back in college football. I said it, period, end of story. That's what I believe. You look at most rankings, that most of the rankings say it's Robinson down there, Texas, and Deuce out of K-State. I take Deuce over Sean. I think Deshaun would be a better NFL running back. I take Deuce in the college game.
You've got
the best running back, in my opinion, right, in the game. You've got a quarterback who, when he has played well, been put in good positions, has been electrifying with the way he can throw the ball and run the ball. And then you pair that with a guy like Malik Knowles, who seems really pumped about this Colin Klein offense. And then you pair it with a guy like Phillip Brooks. And you pair with this offensive line that makes it going to be even better than the offensive line they had last year. There's a lot of stuff that you can do on offense. And we've talked about this defensively. And I think, once again, I think this is probably the most talented guy defensively, even with the loss of Jennings, because if you look at all three levels, you've got playmakers. And if you can get Khalif Duke back to 100% at some point next season, and you can throw him in there as kind of, whether you want to do, as an outside linebacker, you want to bring him up at the edge, whatever you want to do there. You pair him there with King Felix, and we've already mentioned it. You got Huggins in the middle. You got Daniel Green at that middle level, and then on the back you've got Boydo, and then what's his name? Brent's there on that corner.
Julius Brent.
You got some talent there at all those levels. So, like I said, I think it's the most talent that they are going to have. And like I said, while they do need to do, in my opinion, a couple other things, that's why the pressure's on. But you mentioned it. We've never seen this team without Skylar Thompson under Chris Condon. That's a huge question mark. That is a huge, huge question mark. And yes, we've got these expectations for Adrian Martinez, but look, we've never seen quarterbacks succeed under Chris Klein, not named Skylar Thompson yet. So, jury is kind of still out on that. Now, look, he's developed good quarterbacks in North Dakota State. It's not like he's never done it. Developed Carson Wentz. I think he was there. He might have been there at the beginning of Trey Lance. I can't remember or not. He was also there for Easton Stick, who is now a backup in the NFL. So, look, he's done it. Like, he has done it, but he's not done it at K-State outside of Skylar Thompson, who he inherited. So that's why there's a big question. And that's kind of why the jury's out. And so that's why it's such a big year.
So, a lot more to talk about, obviously, with spring football coming to an end there and getting themselves ready for summer and summer workouts for K-State football. I'm pretty sure we will come back to that at some point throughout the summer months. Obviously, here on the Purple Project Podcast, Alex N. Eddie Greer for the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, episode 96 rolls on, and we're going to roll this thing right back to the baseball diamond, where we need to see improvement from K-State baseball team, and maybe there's a sign of hope after tonight's big win as we're recording this just after K-State knocked off Texas in game one at home at in Twain Family Stadium, which is less than 6-7 minutes away from my house. 8-5, the final score in game one, is the start of a 3-game set, especially come off a heartbreaking series down in Lubbock, where K-State had an opportunity to possibly take 2 out of 3 out of that series, but couldn't do it there. But here, they're at home, where coming into this game or into this series, they are 11-3 at Twain Family Stadium this year. Well, now they're 12-3. And prior to that, they only had one win in conference play in the Big 12. That game against Oklahoma State in their last homestand. But this is a small step. I'm going to call it a small step. Yes, I said it. Small step there. 8-5 or over the 25-11 Texas Longhorns, thanks to a big, big 5-run seventh inning there. You don't get that big inning there. Texas probably winning this game, but the home effect in this one, K-State, for whatever reason, is a different team at home. We talked about this multiple times on the show. K-State comes ready to play at home while they lay an egg on the road. I don't know why, but this is what this team is. Until they show us something, again, like they show they can prove on the road, K-State ain't out of it at home. But huge step, back to 500 baseball, 16-16, Alex, now with the win there. Dylan Phillips, who is now the home run king in K-State, added two more bombs in this one. And Josh Nikoloff added another bomb as well over the wall in this game. The key, 8-5 in this game. Tyson Nabors got the decision win for K-State tonight in game one. The loss goes to Pete Hansen of Texas and Connor McCullough, who pitched very well on Sunday, came on and got the save for K-State and Pete Hughes. A huge win for K-State baseball, which now, folks, K-State Nation, 2-8. 2-8. Sorry, I mean, it's probably not funny, but, you know, it's 2-8.
I've got a grin on my face over here, too. Yeah.
2-8 in Big 12 play. And now 16-16, as I said, game two is tomorrow night, right back at home at Toyn Family Stadium there, where K-State can possibly win this series there. So, but again, they still have one other game to follow after that on Saturday. I don't have a schedule in front of me right now, but speaking of improvement there, Alex, K-State's big win over Texas. Can they back things up? Now, K-State is sitting next to last in the Big 12 standings at 2-8, along with Baylor there. And Texas has now dropped to 5-5 in conference play. Now they're 25-11. You mentioned this multiple times on this podcast, where their top half of the schedule is loaded. And now after Texas, maybe they can ease up a little bit here, but already, Alex, this is the half. This will be the halfway point after this Texas series we talked about a little bit before I pressed the record button on this episode. The halfway mark already is Big 12 season, and K-State is still behind the eight ball when it comes to making up some ground. Well, they have time. Well, let me tell you that, but they have time to make up some ground, but did they put themselves in a deep hole?
Time they do have. They do have some time. Some time left. First, Eddie, to start with the baseball team. I've got to rewind to the tech, okay? I'm sorry. That series is just, yes, have to touch on that series before we get to the Texas game, because look, Texas Tech, dominant baseball program. Dominant baseball programs. They are right up there. Right up there with the best, some of the best baseball programs in the country. And they're ranked fourth. They're ranked number four. K-State has not won there in 10 years. They've not won in Lubbock in 10 years, Eddie. So, you know, you're going to Lubbock, and I said it last week in the podcast, you're not getting two, just try to get one. Like, maybe you can play a perfect game, one game, you can get one, and you can, come back against Texas and see if you can get one, maybe two. Because Texas, despite being 5-5 in conference play, they're seventh in the country because the Big 12 is loaded. Just as a quick reminder, and I'll probably mention this again in my comments, but TCU, in case they played them, they were 19, ranked 19. When they played Oklahoma State, they were ranked 6th. When they played Texas Tech, they were ranked 4th. And then when they played Texas, they were ranked 7th. So they literally played number 19, number 6, number 4, number 7. In their first four series. So, look, we can't be expecting K-State to come out here and play 500 baseball against those teams. That's not realistic. But did I expect better than 1-8 in the Texas Tech series? I did expect a little better than that. I expected maybe 3-6. Would have been fine with that. I understand the schedule is loaded and difficult, but the problem with K-State was that this year, Eddie, and we've talked about this in past podcasts, they just made mistakes. They have whether it's errors, walk batters, mental gaffes, blowing leads, whatever it might be, we've kind of seen everything. They found ways to lose a little bit of every way. And so that's what they did at Tech. They competed against the number four team in the country. They blew two leads as well. They had a lead, I think it was 5-2. If I recall in game one, it was 5-2, somewhere around 5-2. But they had it, they blew it, and they lost it. Then they proceeded to get blown out the next game. I think it was like 8-0. And then the third game, which was really the kicker, was K-State was literally leading the entire game. And Tech kept kind of clawing and getting closer, but K-State kept extending it, and K-State got it to 2 and went to the bottom of the ninth. And Texas Tech literally just, like, what did they do? They just smashed a home run on the first pitch in the bottom of the ninth to get it down to 1. They just laced a double and then immediately just smashed a 2-run home run. And again, like, 3 batters, game over. And it's just like, Texas Tech literally was never even winning that game. And they just, on like 10 pitches, just scored 3 runs. The game was over, like, no resistance whatsoever. And it was just so deflating. And you're just thinking, like, oh my gosh, like, this team, they just can't. They can't do it. Like, they cannot do it in this moment. Like, they crumble in these moments. And so, just frustrating. Just frustrating, because it's what we've seen them do all year. So I think I tweeted it after the game. I said, this team has found a way to lose. Because they do. It just feels like they're finding ways to lose, and it's just getting frustrating. Especially when we saw them, Eddie, show us a glimmer of hope last year. And give us hope and optimism coming into the season. Not that there have not been bright spots, but I don't think we were expecting a 16-16, 2-8 baseball team right now. And prior to today's game, 15-16 and 1-8 in baseball play. I don't think that's what we expected. I think we had higher expectations for this team. So it's just frustrating to see them really kind of reverting back to some of their bad habits last year, except doing it on a bigger scale. Part of the reason they're doing it on a bigger scale is because they're playing a tougher schedule. I've mentioned that multiple times in the podcast. But look, credit to them, Eddie. Credit to them. They came out tonight, and they played, once again, Texas, top 10 team. They're at home. They're a lot better at home. We know that. They're 10-4 at home. Not 10-4. Sorry, they are 12-3 at home. They're 4-10 on the road, but they're 12-3 at home, and they got to win. You know, they played Oklahoma State pretty well at home. They only won 1-3, but they probably should have won 2-3 against Oklahoma State. And then they, beat Texas. You know, they beat Texas in that first game. So. That was big because, man, alive. I mean, you're sitting at 1-8 in Big 12 play, Eddie. I mean, if you win, you get swept by Texas, you're sitting at 1-11. I don't care. I don't care who you are. Yeah, I would have 1-11. I think I would have 1-11. Yeah, I don't care who you are, Eddie. You're not coming out of a 1-1 hole. I mean, it's not happening. I don't care what you have left on your schedule. That's too big. So they absolutely have to have a big series against Texas. They have to. They don't have a choice. They put themselves in this position due to what they've done previously in their schedule, whether it's fair or not. So they answered the call. They got rid of now 5-1, I believe, in this game. They scored 7 unanswered to come back and win at 8-5. So they kind of did the opposite of what they've been doing in some of these close losses. So that was good. That was great. It was great to see the fight from the team, that kind of grit, that resilience that hasn't really been there from them. I think that's something that hopefully they can build on, because I think they need to get at least 1 more from Texas. Once again, call it unrealistic. That's fine, but you did this to yourself by putting yourself in a 1-8 Big 12 hole, because you can't, in my mind, you cannot lose a series and think that you can, you know, just get hot, at the end of the year. So, and just kind of bank on it. The schedule's too difficult. You're playing the bottom half of the Big 12, but the schedule's too difficult. So they were off to a good start. They got a win over Texas. If they can get another win against Texas, I think that there's still some hope. But if they lose these next two, and we're talking next week, Eddie, they were 16-18 and 2-10. I don't know. I mean, maybe. Maybe they can, I don't know. I feel more comfortable they can get another win, at least in 3 conference wins. 3-9, still not ideal, but given the schedule they had, if you're 3-9 and you're sitting at 500 after those games, at your overall record, then you're like, okay, well, we at least have some better footing. And what they have coming up after Texas is they got a game at Wichita State. They go to they come back home and they play Omaha. They got 3 against UC Irvine, and then they go to Nebraska. So they've got a nice little cushion there in some non-con games that are, I'm not going to say they're winnable, but compared to what they've been playing, they're winnable. So, you know, looking at UC Irvine, who they've got three game set against, where was it? Their baseball team. I had it up, their record, and they are sitting at 20-11. Yeah, so that's what I thought. I knew they had a good record. So I don't think UC Irvine's ranked, but they're 20-11. So, like, that's a good team. That's a good baseball team. Like I said, not going to be, tough. This is not going to be an easy schedule. This is going to be like last year. You know, you're not going to be playing Northwest Connecticut A&T, you know, for three games. Like, that's not happening. Like, it just isn't. So you're going to have to play teams like UC Irvine and beat them and can win 2 or 3 and sweep them. Teams that have 20 wins on the year. And that's why they need to get that series against Texas, because UC Irvine's not a bad team. Omaha's not a bad team. Wichita State, I don't know how Wichita State is this year, but
well, they beat K-State last year. They beat
They did beat K-State last year.
Here at Twinton, yep.
And we know about Nebraska. You know, I know K-State beat Nebraska earlier in the year, but they've traditionally been a good team. So, look, I just, once again, you've got Oklahoma, you've got KU, you've got Baylor and West Virginia on the back end. Those are obviously much more winnable series, but put yourself in a big hole. So, with all of that said, let's enjoy the win that they got tonight over Texas. And let's hope that they can win the series. Because if they can win the series and get some momentum, and they can win a majority of those non-con games going into their series against Oklahoma on the road, that's good. That's good. And that's something that they really desperately need. So, you know, once again, this team's good at home. Hopefully they can continue to, you know, take advantage of the home cooking. And you know, see if they can get some wins. And I'm trying to look to. It does not show Oklahoma, who is their next series. It does not show their overall record. But this is a team. Again, they've beaten Oklahoma State. They've beaten Texas. Same teams that K-State's beaten. They've beaten Texas Tech. So once again, you're going on the road to Oklahoma after all this. Are they ranked? No. Are they a bad team? No. They've literally beat 3 top 10 teams in Big 12 play. So, 3 different teams, not just 3 games total. So, you know, their work's cut out for them, Eddie, but, you know, they're off to a good start in the Texas series. And to end the baseball, to end this, well, I feel like this has been a really depressing commentary for me. I didn't mean for it to be so depressing, but... But our baseball teams are now out of their depressing states and natures tonight. The Royals have officially lost 4-2 against the Tigers, and your Braves have officially lost here in San Diego to the Padres 12-1. So those games are done and in the books for the night. So hey, at least K-State won. K-State got a win. They probably needed it more than the Royals or the Braves at this point. So good for you, K-State. Go get a win. Tomorrow night or Saturday night. I think the next game might be Saturday night. Whatever game, whatever your
tomorrow
next
night,
game is, go
tomorrow
get
night.
Go get a win and keep it going.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
The PPPW edition of the podcast continues. Episode 96, Eddie Greer, Manhattan, Kansas. I was in San Diego, California, to K-State alumni with this podcast. Oklahoma is 4-5 in conference play, and right now they sit 19-12. They are on a 2-game losing streak there. Yes, K-State. That's not bad. That ain't bad at all, so he can't sleep.
They played a similar schedule to K-State. They played Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and Texas.
Yeah, so Oklahoma, you can't sleep on them. K-State's on a high alert right now, but this is a good start to a critical series. I'll roll with that. So they get one against Texas. Hopefully they can get another tomorrow. Yes, when this podcast comes out, episode 96, the game 2 of the series will start So game two tomorrow at Twain at 7. First pitch a little bit after 7 o'clock Central Time. If you're near the Manhattan area, definitely come on out and show your support. There's been some good crowds at Twain Family Stadium. And no, I have not been to a baseball game, K-State baseball game, yet this year. That might be somewhere in the cards down the road if I don't have busy schedules. But K-State just need to take care of business here. So we'll see what happens the rest of the way. And, of course, we'll have the recaps on the Pro Project Podcast daily relating to the Cats. So good start to the series. So let's hope they can carry a little bit of that bad mojo in tomorrow night's game. And speaking of which, go over the weekend real quick before we go back to football here to kind of book in this podcast. Of course, other sports going on this weekend. You see football. Yeah, like my co-host said, they need some juice rolling. Gets going here tomorrow with the SIRA championships. They're going to be going, I believe that is here. I'm not 100% sure about that. But anyways, they're going to be in action tomorrow all day. It's going to be an all-day event there for the rolling team there. We already mentioned baseball. Six. I'm sorry. I apologize about that. So
don't
take
lie
that
to the people. I do. What are you doing?
6 p.m. First pitch a little bit after 6. Game 2 between the 7th-ranked Texas team. Oh, by the way, so K-State just beat another top 10 opponent here at Twin Family Stadium tonight. They look to do the same tomorrow and take the series there as well. And then Saturday, big Saturday coming for K-State sports, which includes men's golf, which they've been pretty good. They've been kind of flying under the radar this spring, putting down some good performances as well. So at least men's golf showing some competitiveness here this spring, putting out some good, especially individually as well. They got a good 1-2 punch freshman-wise, so they got a good, bright future for the next couple years on that men's golf team there. And then that's the Hawkeye Invitational that the men's golf will be hosting, actually. Yeah, no, they're going to Iowa. Excuse me, I take that back, Iowa. So they'll be doing that.
I am really off my game
here in this instance here. And then here, a scrimmage to start off Saturday morning. South Dakota will be coming to Manhattan to take on the soccer team. So soccer is trying to get themselves going here with a little bit of a scrimmage, spring/summer action here going as well. South Dakota, that was one of the opponents on the K-State soccer team last year, if I'm not mistaken there as well. And they beat them last year, if I'm not mistaken as well. So, and then obviously, Alex, you mentioned the tennis. Well, I actually mentioned tennis has been losing and really struggling in conference play this year. Hopefully, they can get this thing turned around. They got to go to Lawrence. K-State sitting number 53rd in the NCAA in tennis. They got to go to face the number 29th ranked team in all tennis. Women's tennis, I should say, KU in Lawrence there. Hopefully they can get that. You always want to beat your rival when it comes to KU there. But K-State, when it comes to Big 12 play, it has not been their friend when it comes down to that. So hopefully the tennis team, I know they have Maria Linares has been really the bright spot for that tennis team this year. So hopefully they can put it together for one day and knock off KU, who is 29th in the tennis world there on Saturday. And to cap things off, going back here into the baseball schedule here, Saturday is Junior Wildcat Day at the ballpark at Twain Family Stadium on Saturday. This is not misleading. This Junior Wildcat Day, folks, to cap off the series against 7th-ranked Texas. This is going to be a 4 o'clock start, first pitch a little bit after 4 p.m. Hopefully, by then, we'll have the series lead. If not, this will be the rubber match of the 3-game set before you turn your attention The following Tuesday, again, you got to go to Wichita. And I mentioned that in that little Alex spiel there, that Wichita State beat K-State at 20 last year. One of a few losses here, so you don't, if you're K-State, you don't want to lose that game. That's a revenge game there, I should say. Yeah. So, but you gotta take care of Texas. That's first order of business for K-State baseball. And that's a look at around what's happening this weekend in K-State athletics there.
And also, Eddie, just a quick shout-out, by the way, to Erica Lee, who she threw up the first pitch at the baseball game today. So that was cool. It was always cool to see your superstar throwing out the first pitch of the game. I don't know if this is why she threw out the first pitch or if it was just a complete coincidence, but she also earned the Big 12 Conference Women's Basketball Scholar Athlete of the Year. So she got that within this last week. I saw Jean Taylor put a tweet out about it, and then I saw, I think, Bill Snyder put out a tweet about it as well, ironically enough. So congrats to her on that. Interesting stat here, by the way, Eddie. K-State has earned 6 of the last 10 Big 12 Women's Basketball Scholar Athlete of the Year
awards. Yeah, I just recorded.
Probably, you know what? You were probably about to say that, and I probably just took it from you. So well, I apologize. Actually, maybe I was getting greedy there. I thought about it because I saw her throw the first pitch out today. I wanted to give her a shout-out for that. And I thought, oh, maybe she's throwing it out because of the accolade she got. And I was like, well, maybe not. Maybe she was just supposed to throw it out. I don't know. Maybe you know that. Maybe you have some butter that I don't have.
Well, actually, there was a tweet floating out there just before the 30 minutes before the game that she was going to throw the first pitch tonight. Ayoka Lee, yes, shout out. And I was going to add on top of that, Alex, I did do a daily on that, which is going to come out tomorrow, actually, on that. So there you go. So you kind of teed it up right there. And I took care of
for you all to go listen to.
Yep, I took care of the rest right there. So expect that to be on tomorrow's Pro Project Podcast daily edition of the podcast there to start off your Friday, and then of course episode 96 will follow when it comes out in prime time. So yeah, Ayoka Lee joins a great club of other K-Staters, K-State women who've made that award as well. I'm not going to spoil that because it's on the daily, so don't want to.
I did not say those. I refrain from naming any other names who have won the 6 awards. So you're gonna have to listen to Eddie's daily to know who they are.
Yep, that is right. That is right. So K-State got a little bit of that baseball team. Had that Ayoka magic tonight there. So hopefully they can carry that into the rest of the series against Texas. They're going to need it for sure. Back to the
They need some Ayoka magic.
Yep, we'll roll with that. They need some Ayoka magic. Meanwhile, I literally just saw this as we go back to the football side here on the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, episode 96. I literally just saw this video while you were talking about that the little baseball segment that we just had a few moments ago there, that Julius Brents and Eagle Boydo were on campus today pressing some of the K-State students and faculty in front of the K-State Union. Pretty funny. They say at least that as well. Shout out to the
story. Hey, what do you do? I actually saw that video and I sent it to a couple people and asked them what they would do if that happened to them when they were just walking to class. So what would you have done if you were just walking to class and literally Julius Brents runs up to you in K-State gear like he's guarding you, like you're a receiver? Like, what do you do? Like, how do you handle that situation? Well, like, I'm late to class. Maybe I have to push him out of the way and run through him. You know?
Yeah.
You know, maybe I have to do that. Although, he'd probably be, like, running through a brick wall. But, like, what do you do, Eddie? How do you handle that if you are on your way to class and Julius Brents pops out or Echo Boydo? Or, heck, somebody had both of them.
So like, yeah, somebody had both of them. Yep, somebody had both of them there.
Yeah, like,
getting double teamed there.
You?
Somebody was getting double teamed. I did. Yep, somebody did get double teamed by both.
I'll be honest. I'm not sure what my reaction would be if I'm just walking down campus, not paying attention, or I got my earbuds in or something, or maybe I'm talking to this friend, And the next thing I know, they just jump out at me because that's pretty much what they were doing. I don't know what I would have done. I mean, I really don't know what my first reaction would have been. I really don't.
Yeah, my first reaction would be probably the same thing, to be honest. There, at least for a minute, I'll probably walk away from either Brent or Boyda or both of them. And then, if I have for some free time, though, I would probably drop my book bag and get in the wide receiver stance and use my speed to blow bodies, guys.
I think I'd do the same thing. I think I'd say, okay, let's go. I think I'd drop the book bag and be like, bring a little press. Come on, press me.
Yeah, like, bring it on. Let's go.
Like, press me up on the line. Like, don't play soft coverage on me. Like, press me. See if I can get past you.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably what I'd do, and I wouldn't get past them. And I'd look like a fool on campus, but that's okay.
That's all right, though, because if it was an open period between classes, that's a different story. I got some time. Get some reps in, you know?
That's right. And look, I don't care if I look stupid on campus. Number one, I've had my stupid-looking moments on campus. And number two, I'm not a scholarship athlete. Okay, I'm not here on a scholarship for football, so who cares if I look dumb against someone who's on scholarship for football? Like, whoop-de-doo, like, you know, whatever. So, although I saw one of the janitors threw a nice little move at Julius.
Oh, she did, in front of, she did put a little of a sidestep move on Julius.
Juke. It's like, well, yeah, it was a little sidestep, a little juke or something.
Yeah, we saw all kind of reactions there. Degenerator putting a little move on Brent's there. Somebody got double teamed there. One dropped his book bag there and blew by. Pushed Brent's out of the way and blew by him. That's one.
I was walking two dogs, and the dogs were not too fond of it.
Nope. No. Walking the dogs, and the dogs weren't happy with it. One just stood there and held her hands out, like, what are you doing?
Yep.
So
and
we
like,
saw.
And just like, what are you doing? Like, get out of my way.
Get out of the way. So, yeah, we saw all kinds of options of what you would do if Julius Brents or Echo Boydo were lining up, line up in their stance, press mode, and you had a couple options. So, there you go.
You're going to be pressing a lot of receivers this year, Eddie. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. They're gonna have their hands full. This upcoming fall, that's for sure. So I definitely wanted to shout that out as well. And shout out K-State for not beating Iowa State in the recruiting game. Also has been on previous dailies this week. Posted one yesterday about Wesley Fair will be coming here along with Will. Now, I cannot say his last name. It's Will Ankiao or something like that.
Yeah.
The tight end. It's coming up from here now. Both of these kids are from the Wichita area, or playing football from the Wichita area anyways. So, huge kids there, and this has been a topic also in Triple P here that K-State needed to do better in this area. They needed to do better getting your own players in-house instead of watching other players, especially Iowa State, grabbing your own players and having success with them, right? And in common denominator with these two recruits that we just got that are coming here in the 2023 class, that includes Camden Beebe, who is also already committed to K-State. K-State knocked off Iowa State, which is already well documented. Thank you, Matt Campbell. And KU. Obviously, KU took big strides this past football season. That's huge right there, obviously, with what KU's trying to do on the football field and obviously in the recruiting game, and K-State needed to get these guys.
Huge. And you mentioned, I don't even think we got to talk about you mentioning it. We talked a lot about this with Keith, this exact topic, you know, having to be able to win these recruiting battles and recruiting battles that – just to be quite frank, K-State's not been winning.
They
have not been winning recruiting battles. They've not been winning a lot of these battles in the state for whatever reason. That was something we dove a lot into with Keithan. So go back and check that episode out if you want to do that more in depth.
Yes,
they just haven't been been winning those in-state battles, and they've been losing all their battles, it feels like, with Iowa State in the recruiting in the recruiting trail. And you mentioned it, that K-State, they've got to win the in-state battles with KU. That's just the fact of the matter. You have to beat them, and now you can't let them take the homegrowns, the top talent in the state. You've got to be able to keep that. And so huge for K-State to be able to do that. And it's kind of this bring it back type of mantra you've got going for the 2023 team. You mentioned it. You got three Kansas commits already. And then you get two big ones here this past week. And then there's three others that have offers from K-State that mm-hmm. K-State's still in serious consideration for.
Yeah, yeah.
One of which is Dylan Edwards.
Yep.
Who is a big one out there. And so so there's more work to be done, but to be able to beat Iowa State and beat KU twice in a week for in-state guys, like, that's a big deal. And, like, once again, is it because these guys are five-star recruits? No, it's not because they're five-star recruits. It's bigger than that, to be 100% honest with you. It really is. It's the fact that these are areas K-State has not been winning, and these are areas that K-State needs to win to get the program where it needs to be. That's just the truth. K-State's not going to be successful if they cannot win in the state of Kansas. They are not going to be successful if they cannot win recruiting battles head-to-head against Iowa State, because Iowa State is really comparable to K-State. Really are, and they're going to be in a lot of battles, recruiting battles. And so, look, Iowa State's been winning the recruiting battles. It's no mistake. Iowa State's put a better football team. Maybe that's not a coincidence. And, KU, they've actually got a competent coaching staff over there now. And other tease to the Keithan podcast. Keithan was talking a little bit about how he feels like KU could be a sleeping giant because, they're only 45 minutes from Kansas City. That is correct. They are 45 minutes from Kansas City. They are not part of Kansas City. I will say that again to anyone who still thinks that. Oh, my gosh. Won't go down that road right now, though. But point being is they're only 45 minutes from Kansas City. And so that's kind of in their backyard. Some could view them as a sleeping giant if they can get that new football stadium built. Not that little tiki hut that they're putting out there next fall. I'm talking about an actual new stadium. So we'll see if they do get that built. I think they eventually will at some point once they get the funding for it. But you don't want to give KU momentum. That's the thing. KU's already got some momentum from the way they ended the season last year. I don't think you're just going to see the same doormat team from KU this year that you did in years past. I think you're actually going to see a more competent football team that's, going to compete against some Big 12 teams. So you don't want to give them top talent in the state. That's not what you want to do. So K-State's been losing on all of these fronts, and it's been putting them behind on the recruiting trail. And it's been a problem. It's been a problem that you and I have talked about. Other Wildcat insiders have talked about it. I know Kellis Robinson has talked about it. I know Tim Fitzgerald's talked about it.
Yep, yep.
I know that Derek Young has talked about it.
Everybody's talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all of these guys
K-State media talked about
it. And it's well documented that this has been a problem. So for K-State to win some of those recruiting battles for some of that top talent is a big deal, because if you can change the tide there, you can start winning those recruiting battles, and you can start peeling all that talent away, and you're garnering that, it sets a precedent. I mean, it sets a precedent on that recruiting trail, and once again, that helps you build the foundation. That helps you build the foundation of your recruiting, and it's like a house. If you build a house that doesn't have a strong foundation, it's not a strong house. It can come crashing down. If you can build it the right way, you can have that strong foundation and build it properly, you're going to have a good, sturdy house that can withstand a lot. And to be 100% honest, we've seen a K-State team that has, they had some good players in the front lines, Eddie, but they haven't had a lot of depth. They haven't had a lot of success recruiting, and we've seen it hurt them. And we've seen that Hassel's in the straw, and the Hassel's come down on them. And, you know, they've got to be better, and it starts right there in the backyard. And, you know, kind of winning those battles and really build, you know, using those as the foundation of recruiting. And so, good for them. I think they're going to land some more. I'm optimistic that they can get Dylan Edwards and that they can get, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the other one. Another kid's name. Oh my gosh, it's really bugging me. I can't think of it. Oh, I just had it, Eddie. I just had it. I'll have to look it up. But that's really embarrassing. I mean, why did I forget that? I literally.
Can I take a shot at it? Can I take a shot at it?
Yeah, I know.
I know Dylan Edwards is a popular one. I know that one is still right there. Avery Johnson, I want to say him. Maze quarterback.
Yeah, he's a quarterback. He's a quarterback. Exactly. He's a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I'm optimistic they can get both of those guys. We'll see. If I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I am, was a betting man, I would put money on them coming to K-State. If K-State does land those two guys, that's going to be enormous. Like that, you really will have turned this tide. But you can be talking about it. Once again, look around at all these K-State insiders. Talking about how big this is. That's all you need to know. Like, you know, these aren't insiders that just go run their mouth about every single recruit that they get, you know. If they're talking about the, you know, what this could mean long term and this being a change in the tide and change of the times, that's a huge deal. Huge deal. So, once again, I think it's less about the recruits. Not that they're bad players. They're good players. I think they're players that can help K-State a lot. And that's a good thing. But I think it's bigger than just the player. I think it is the fact of changing these tendencies that have really kind of hurt this team at the beginning of the Chris Klieman era. And we've talked about it. Recruiting's been tough for him at times. And it started with the fact that he has not won in his own backyard. And he has not won against the teams he needs to win against. So good for Chris Klieman. Good for that coaching staff. And hopefully it's just a sign of more things to come.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Hopefully that is a good sign of saying good things to come in recruiting battles, as that's going to definitely continue throughout the rest of the spring and into the summer. Recruiting never stops here in Manhattan. K-State University, Alex Ames, San Diego, California, Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas for the Purple Project Podcast Weekly. As we're about to start to wrap things up here on episode 96, recording is on April 14th, 2022. And now we're going to step out of bounds to wrap up this podcast, folks. We're going to focus back to the hard floor in the NBA. Yes, folks, the NBA.
Yeah, your Hawks.
My Hawks, you know, blowing past the Charlotte Hornets. Yeah, Charlotte Hornets, right? Yeah, Hornets yesterday. They're blowing them out, and now they're one win away from getting themselves into the playoffs, the actual playoffs there, this play-in tournament. They'll have to get by Cleveland to do it tomorrow night. Meanwhile, the other game has the Pelicans took care of the Spurs. They will go on the road to take on the Clippers, who got knocked off by the T-Wolves the other night. So that sets up an interesting thing there. Obviously, the win, you're in the playoff, the actual playoffs, you lose, you go home. It's pretty much as simple as that there. So Hawks trying to keep their season alive after getting to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They have one more hurdle to climb before getting the actual playoffs. We'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to this game there to see what they can do. Obviously, the Cavaliers just lost to the Nets. Nets there in a 1-2 combo of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. That's a dangerous dude right there heading into postseason. And both of them champions, NBA champions, and obviously a lot of playoff experience there. I believe they're seeded against Boston now in their first-round matchup there. And on the flip side, I can't remember offhand, unfortunately.
The T-Wolves.
I don't know who the T-Wolves are playing in the first round matchup there. I have to pull up the seedings here in just a moment.
The T-Wolves are, let's see, the two seed, okay, the one seed's Phoenix. The two seed, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head who the 2 seed is. Is it Golden State? No, Golden State slipped. Who is the 2 seed? Oh my gosh.
Two seed is the Grizzlies. I got it. Grizzlies.
Yeah, the Grizzlies. John Morant and the Grizzlies have been, Desmond Bane, they've been really good this year.
Yeah, they probably may be, if I were to put it, probably the surprise in that Western Conference there. Obviously, a lot of talk about Ja Morant and the player that he is. Boy, beast. I tell you, he is something else there. Obviously, on the other side, we flip the coin, going back to the whole James Harden deal there, where he talked himself out of the Brooklyn again, getting himself in these situations there, landing it in where he wanted to be in Philadelphia. It's put up or shut up time for good old James O. Harden. So it's put up or shut up time for him. They take on the Raptors in their first round matchup there. The Warriors, you mentioned them, Alex, they're going to take on, this is going to be a good series right here. They're going to take on Jokic and the Denver Nuggets there. Questionable. Hopefully Steph can play in the series there. There's a lot of question marks surrounding him. This is Saturday's matches, by the way. Utah Jazz, who can't get out of the first round or second round for that matter.
I feel like if they don't make a deep run this year, they're going to break that team up.
Yeah, I think so as well. Show me. You can win the regular season, right? We all know Utah's good in the regular season. But for whatever reason, they cannot put together when it comes playoff time. Can they get it done against Dallas Mavericks? And, I'm going to get laughed at for this. Obviously, Brunson, I can't think of the superstar. Crap.
Doncic.
Yeah, there we go. Luka. Luka Doncic. There we go.
Also hurt right now.
Yeah, he's banged up right now. So if Utah can't take advantage of that, break that team up right there. And, of course, the first round matchup in the East. The Heat await the winner of the Cavs-Hawks series there. If the Hawks can get by Cleveland tomorrow night, that could be very interesting there with that. I don't want to put a cart before the horse yet. We'll have to see for tomorrow night there.
And he thinks you're going to see an 8-1 upset.
I ain't going that far yet. We got to beat Cleveland first.
Yeah.
Come back to me at that next
Cleveland
week.
Cleveland has had a good year.
Cleveland's been solid all year. Obviously, they have former K-Stater Dean Wade, unfortunately, hurt for the rest of the year. But Cleveland, they have been struggling down the stretch. But other than that, they've been pretty good this year.
They have struggled down the stretch, because they were initially out of the play. I think they were the sixth seed. They were the sixth seed there.
As well, and then of course Nets Celtics, that could be a legendary series there. With Celtics being one of the best.
Ben Simmons might play.
Oh, what was that?
I said Ben Simmons might play. That's what they're saying. They're saying Ben Simmons could finally play potentially.
We'll see. I'll have to pull up the recliner and find out and see what happens there with that. Chicago.
And he will. Oh, don't get me wrong. Not betting money on that. You better believe it. But that's the rumor. That's the rumor on the social media streets, Eddie.
We'll have to see about that. Chicago, who was once the number one seed in the East, they're going to be paired up against the defending NBA world champs, the Bucks. Yep. That could be an intriguing series. That's the battle of the Illinois versus Wisconsin right there. Very close together right there. Giannis playing very well down the stretch here for the Bucks there. So the Bucks officially start their defense of their title from a year ago. And by the way, the Suns will be playing the winner of that Pelicans Clippers matchup. So Clippers get one more chance to get in. So we'll see what happens there at that. So
please win Clippers. I don't like the Clippers. But you know what? The Pelicans, the Blazers have a draft pick riding on that game. So a lottery pick, in fact, riding on that game. So the Blazers right now are, and I don't mean to derail this, I know you're going to ask a question in a second, Eddie, but the reason that that game means so much to me is because the Blazers traded all their guys, they traded a lot of their guys, a lot of their money, a lot of their guys have had contracts away in the middle of the season, so they could tank and kind of just hit like a quick reset, so they could like be back and kind of make another, try to make another run with Dame. And so they traded off C.J. McCollum, they traded off Norman Powell, Robert Covington, a bunch of different guys, Larry Nance Jr., and just got a bunch of young guys, got a bunch of money, and got draft picks. And so they could potentially end up with a top four pick, because I think they're right now they're sixth in the lottery odds. And then they've also got a first-round pick from the Pelicans, which only conveys, Eddie, if the pick falls between 5 and 14. Mm. So the Pelicans, if they make the playoffs, they will be out of that. So the pick will not, they will not get the pick. If the Pelicans lose, the pick will likely convey as long as it does not end up a top four pick. So it could, Portland could lose a lottery draft pick if the Pelicans win that game. Which, by the way, it sounds like they are planning to try to use that lottery draft pick to go trade for possibly Jeremy Grant from the Pistons. So that really would irk me even more if they lost it, if it's literally they've pretty much got a trade in place. They're just waiting for the pick to convey. So moral of that story, not that anyone of our listeners cared, but I care. So please lose, Pelicans. So that pick is still a play for my Blazers. Back to the playoffs.
Portland, the Trailblazers update right here on the Pro Project podcast.
We need the pick. We need the pick, okay? Care about my Blazers. Cheer for the Clippers so we can get the damn pick, and then the Clippers will go away in 4 or 5 when they lose to the Suns, who are freaking loaded.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens there with that. That Pelicans Clippers is the nightcap. After the Hawks and Cavaliers, Hawks Cavaliers is the ESPN 6:30 Central Time tip off, and then the late game is LA Pelicans. Obviously, Alex is lottery pick riding on the Pelicans here against the
Clippers. We got 2 lottery picks, Eddie. We use one of them to, we could use them to trade and potentially look if a superstar shakes free, Eddie. If Boston goes down the first round to the Sixers, or if...
You mean the Nets-Celtics.
That's what I meant, sorry. If Boston goes down the first round to the Nets, Jaylen Brown shakes free from the Celtics. Guess what? If Portland gets that pick, they've got picks and players to go make a trade for a guy like Jaylen Brown. Or if someone like the Jazz break up, right? They go one and done. And then... they blow that thing up. Donovan Mitchell, big popular spot, landing spot for him has been Miami. Say he goes to Miami. Jimmy Butler has to leave. And guess what? Once again, you can use that pick to go possibly get Jimmy Butler. They need the pick, Eddie. Gosh darn it. Just lose, Pelicans. Like, that's all I want. Please lose the game. Like, it really, okay. Back to the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
I will not get too far down the pick lottery pick lane.
Yeah. Yeah, so back to this real quick, and I'm going to ask just one question here before we officially wrap things up here. What, it could be either or here, what sticks out, what's the biggest storyline for you? Obviously, we still have the rest of this play-in here to deal with once this podcast rolls out tomorrow night. What's the most intriguing storyline heading into the rest of this postseason? Well, the start of these playoffs.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I think that one of the biggest storylines is the injuries. The injuries are such a wild card going into these playoffs because you got question marks around Steph. You got question marks around Luka. You got question marks around Ben Simmons. If the Pelicans did end up winning that game and got into the 8th seed, you'd have potentially question marks around Zion, because Zion looks like he's pretty healthy right now. Still don't think he can play, but at least there'd be some question marks around it. And so, you know, there's just a lot of injured superstars, and there's question marks around it. And it could have a direct impact on what happens in the playoffs, because... you know, those superstars are obviously the game changers for you when it comes to this time of the year. So, I think that's the big thing. I also, looking at it, Eddie, I think that there's really not a clear favorite really anywhere. I think that Phoenix is seen to be in the West. And I do think they'll end up winning the West. But once it's not a gimme. You know, if Steph gets healthy and the Warriors go on a run, wouldn't shock me to see that. If Memphis continues the magic that they've had, that wouldn't shock me either. Heck, wouldn't shock me to see a six seed like the Nuggets make a push at the Western Conference Finals if things broke right for them. I think that it's pretty open. Again, I do expect Phoenix to win the West, but I think that that's interesting. And then on the East, I think that you can say the exact same thing. You know, we saw the race that was going on. Well, our NBA listeners anyway saw the race in the East there near the end of the season. And man, 1-4, it was neck and neck through the end of the season for that 1-4 seeds. It was really close, and I think that speaks once again to the parity. Now I think the headlines are, look, you mentioned it, James Harden traded to the Sixers. It looks a little little shaky so far. Can they put it together in the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, I feel like that trade might end up biting the Sixers in the you know what. You just my thought. We'll see. I don't trust James Harden. I think that I don't trust him. He's a great basketball player, but I don't know. I don't trust him there. But you know, we'll see. I still think they've got a favorable matchup in the first round. And then you just, once again, you got good matchups. We mentioned the 2-7 matchup with the Nets and the Celtics. I think that's a really interesting matchup. And I think when all is said and done, the Bucks again for the second year in a row get out of the East. I do think it'll be
a rematch.
I'm leaning rematch. I am, Eddie. But once again, though, I think that the door is open. I think, once again, if the Heat get hot, wouldn't shock me to see them there. If the Nets get hot, obviously would not shock me to see the Nets if they can get healthy and get going. And Celtics have been playing great basketball in the stretch. Wouldn't surprise me to see them in there. And Eddie, you mentioned it. I mean, your Hawks played the Western Finals last year.
Eastern.
They get hurt as an 8 seed. Your 8 seed played the Western Finals last year. So they've obviously had their defensive deficiencies this year, the Hawks, at times. But look, you got Trae Young. You got a team that's been there in the big game. You can't rule that out. So, you know, I think the door's open. So, yeah, Eddie, I do have a rematch of last year's finals matchup, which, look, I'm not a big fan of rematches, but that was a really good finals last year. I would not be opposed to a rematch of that series. But I really think it's wide open. And I think that's cool because we don't always see that in the NBA. Not all the time. A lot of times it feels like you've got a super team or you've got something. You know the Warriors are going to the finals from the West, or you know that the Heat with LeBron James are going to the finals from the East. Like there's, I don't feel like there's any of that this year. You know, I feel like we've got a pretty even playing field, and I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see how it breaks.
Yeah. So we shall see about Alex's prediction right there and how the rest of his playing goes as well. There are a lot of intriguing storylines as well. So the NBA playoffs beginning on Easter weekend, folks. So definitely a lot to check out for the NBA side as well. As well as K-State activity tomorrow and Saturday as well, folks. So, boy, a lot we covered here on this edition of the podcast. Alex, any final words for the K-State folks tonight?
Yeah, look, I just think they're the two best teams in the NBA. Look, I just do. I think the Bucks and the Suns are the two best teams in the NBA, and I think that's what we'll see. But as we know, that's not the way basketball always works. You know, we've seen crazier things happen you know, my Blazers made the Western Conference Finals a few years ago when they got. They didn't get any breaks. They had to beat the Thunder with Paul George and Russell Westbrook, which was so sad, and Steven Adams, which was very satisfying, by the way, because they were running their mouth all series. And then they went up against a Denver team that had Jokic and Murray at full health and beat them in seven. So they did earn their way to that Western Finals, but no one was expecting them to make it there, and they did. Unfortunately, that was in the middle of the It was on the end of the Warriors' reign, back when they had Kevin Durant with Clay and Steph. Just forget it. Like, what the hell can you do? Oh, you made the finals, and no one's beating that team. So they obviously did, but yeah. So you know, you never know. You just never know what will what will happen. So I think it'll be fun there. But I do. I just think that the two best teams are the Suns and the Bucks, and in the NBA. More times than not, the best teams prevail because you're playing a best of seven series. It's not like March Madness where it's a single elimination. So, look, that's what makes March Madness so great, Eddie, is that single elimination factor, which just makes those upsets so great. But yeah, so, you know, in regards to K-State, Eddie, we're beginning to enter the kind of the lull of sports seasons, right? You know, the basketball's wrapped up. Football is now wrapping up their activities here in the summer. And then baseball, they're still going strong. But you know, outside of baseball, and you mentioned, you know, tennis, rowing, there's just not a lot of sports activity. So we're going to begin to kind of hit a slower period. And it's going to give us opportunity to kind of talk more depth about some of the things and transitions going on in some of these programs. So I'm excited to do that. It's always good. A good time, and before you know it, Eddie, we're going to be talking on the podcast, breaking down position by position on here with the football team. We're going to be breaking down schedules. We're going to be breaking down all that good stuff with football, and then before you know it, Eddie, we're going to be having a preview show for whoever the hell they play the first game. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, but on next thing you know, we're going to be tuning in, and we're going to be like, okay, here we go. It's a preview show. So it'll come fast, but I'm excited to see what happens here in this the spring and summer, and also what happens with the baseball team here down the stretch. And now we are only... After this episode, Eddie, we're only three episodes away from 100.
Yep, that's a big milestone.
That's a big milestone. We started. You started this. We're coming up to the 2-year anniversary, Eddie. We're coming up to the 2-year anniversary here in a month or two of this, and we're going here for a couple years strong and eager to see what else comes. The 100th episode. That's going to be a big milestone.
Yep, yes, it is. Yeah, before we know it, 100. 100th episode is right around the corner, and yes, and after that, another football season will be right around the corner as well. Definitely, got some more plans in the works, obviously.
I'll be sure to have a nice beverage on our 100th episode.
I think that's
going on here, so I can give us a toast.
Mid
podcast, and hey, you know what? You know, nothing wrong with having a nice little alcoholic beverage to celebrate a 100th episode.
Yep, nothing wrong with that. That's actually a good idea. Early planning here on the Purple Project Podcast Weekly.
Right, thinking ahead, Eddie.
Thinking ahead right there.
Any excuse to have a drink, apparently.
Yep. Yep, and also, speaking of more in-depth stuff, we'll be looking forward to doing that. As well, the basketball team, obviously the men's, that's going to be a storyline. They got to build that roster.
We're going to have lots of basketball news.
A lot of basketball.
They got a greater roster. So.
Somehow, because we have no roster right now.
Yeah.
With like three players, that's not going to cut it.
No. So. Although he did say, and I encourage people to check this out, Drone Tank was on the three mom podcasts, as they're calling it now, with Coleman, Beck, John Kurtz, Derek Young on the KC Sports Network. They interviewed Drum Tank. Drum Tank, they asked about the roster. He said, expect a lot of visits in the next 2 weeks on campus. But he said, I would rather
have a roster of 8 that fit what we do than a roster of 13 that can't get us where we want to go. So, just saying. I'm not saying that we want a 13 players. I'm just saying he doesn't care about the numbers. He cares about getting the right guys. So, interesting. But go listen to it. It's interesting. It's a good podcast.
Yeah, that's on my things to do list here this weekend. I will check it out definitely. I did listen to a snippet when John Kurtz or I think KC Sports Radio Network dropped that little bit of tease there. I will go back and watch that. So that's interesting. That's very interesting there as well. And hey, I can see it. I can definitely see it. He wants to win. Obviously, he's come from Baylor, where they came off a national championship 2 years ago. So, I can definitely see that.
And he says there's no doubt in his mind that K-State can win a national championship. He said there's no doubt in his mind they can win a national championship. And look, he plans on using the success that Baylor and KU have had the last 2 years to his advantage recruiting. Saying, like, look, why do national champs are from this league? Like, do you want to play against the best? Because, look, we got the best right down the road from us. So, I mean, he's literally already talking about, like, hey, I'm going to use the national championship to my advantage on the recruiting trail. Like, KU's national championship to my advantage. And, like, hey, I'll show them my national championship ring and let them touch it and hold it for Baylor. Like, he's got some ammo. He's got some ammo that he can play with when he's trying to recruit some dudes.
He sure does.
He also said that I found interesting. Sorry, you guys should check it out. He also said he doesn't want guys that are interested in, like, city life. He said, one of the first questions we're asking recruits, do you care about the nightlife? Do you care about city life? Like, do you need that? Or are you someone who wants to be in a small town, not a lot of distractions, go to work, and if they want city life, he said, we're crossing them off the list. Don't care. Don't care anything else about them. We're scratching them off the list because we want people here who want to be in a small town. Don't want a lot of distractions. And if they don't want that, we're not even going to bother with them. So, another interesting little nugget.
And South Dakota is first on the list for K-State football. South Dakota, September 3rd, folks. Time has not been announced yet. So,
and then they play Missouri the week after, right?
Yep, that's right. Missouri. Woo! And then non-con wraps up with Tulane. So, 3 consecutive home games to start off here at Bill Steiner Family Stadium. September 3rd, South Dakota comes to town there. And then in between South Dakota and Tulane, it will be that anticipated game there when Missouri comes to town, boy. And,
golly, that's going to be a crazy game. In Manhattan.
Yep, Manhattan. Yep.
They weren't just Big 12 foes. That was a rivalry. Maybe it was just me because I lived in Kansas City, and Mizzou was like the liar from Kansas City, and Kansas City was split 3 ways between K-State, KU, Mizzou fans. But to me, I always felt like that was a rivalry, K-State, Mizzou. So I'm looking forward to that one. That's going to be good.
Yep, and in between, hopefully between within the next 3 episodes before episode 100 of the Pro Parts Podcast, maybe have one more special guest in between now and then. So I've got some candidates on the list there as well. So a lot to look forward to here in the upcoming weeks on this podcast, folks.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good stuff, and people should tune in. And like I said, because you mentioned it, got to fill out. While there's not a lot of sports going on, we're probably going to get more recruit news this football team. And for 2022 and 2023. And then with the basketball team, I mean, they legitimately have to fill a roster. So, that's clearly going to be happening in the coming weeks. One more nugget I'll tease of his interview with John Cole. Derek, he said 75% of the players in the transfer portal are there because their coaches didn't want them. He said only about 25% of those players in the portal left, and their coaches were like, oh man, like, that sucks to lose them. He said, so what I'm really looking for is who enters the transfer portal the next 2 weeks. He said his players who entered the entrance portal the next 2 weeks are going to be players coach didn't want to lose. And he said, and those are the players that we're really going to want. So, a lot of layers to unpack in that comment as well. But 75%, he thinks 75% of the players in the portal are there because the coaches didn't want him. I think that tells you everything you know about that coaching staff probably forcing almost that entire K-State roster out, aside from Nigel Pack. They probably went to him and said, you're not, this is not for you. It's in your best interest, it's portal. Crazy. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, you'll learn some stuff if you listen to that interview. But there's lots of news that's going to come up here in the coming weeks of that basketball program.
Interesting. We'll have to leave that as a cliffhanger. Episode 96 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly is in the books. Alex in San Diego, California. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. Appreciate you guys. Again, this podcast episode will come out tomorrow night on its usual day. It'll be Friday. So definitely after the second game of the Texas series or whenever, definitely you want to be subscribed. Make sure you download the podcast, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. Go Cats. Alex, I know you're busy next week. Probably looking at Thursday for sure. Friday I'm going out of town. So
yes, you're correct, Eddie. I will be heading to Las Vegas, Nevada on Monday for a government identity fraud summit. So I will be there for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think my flight gets back Wednesday night. So, if you're free Thursday night, I should be free a week from tonight. We are planning on the fly, but feel free to hit me up. We will go with the flow.
All right, like we always do, go with the flow in the Purple Project Podcast. Go Cats! And we will do this again if we can do it next week, we will. But we will talk to you in the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly. Go Cats! See ya!
Podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.